Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't. And where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Stuart, and Larry's on board tonight, healing very well, as I understand it, and feeling much better. Hi, Larry. How's it going?
Hello. Hello, Stuart. Thanks for having me. Feeling better.
Well, good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, prayer does help, doesn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. I don't think I would have made it without the prayers, and I so appreciate everyone that, and you know, and your call to help, I appreciate so much.
Well, no problem. I don't know, something going on with folks sitting back, not really helping, but in that case, they came forth, and that was great. Why don't we start with this Antarctica situation, because that may be very extensive. What's the latest that you've heard? I've got this thing that Steve Quayle put out, and I'm not exactly sure what that means, actually. So,
well,
do you have anything on that? Yeah, go ahead.
It's very interesting. You know, there was a little data going on Antarctica for about a month there. And, you know, we talked about it and posted some things. And, you know, a lot of pointing of interesting folks, I guess you could say, important people that went down to view something at Antarctica. And, you know, and it reminds me a lot of times, you remember the movie Alien versus Predator or whatever it was, you know, by satellite they discovered this energy that was ongoing under Antarctica, and then they sent a team in, et cetera, et cetera. But what's so interesting, there was, you know, after we posted or talked about the most recent, there was like a blackout. I mean, absolutely nothing, like somebody had pulled a curtain shut. And there was zero talk about Antarctica. And what's so interesting is you know, I'm trying to get someone to run a tour code on Antarctica, and, you know, that hadn't succeeded yet. But, you know, the bots talked about it, and that's very interesting. And so, you know, yesterday and today, my wife brought up that they were some stuff on Facebook that was going out talking about something that occurred in Antarctica. And there was an evacuation, supposedly, that had begun of civilians and a military movement towards Antarctica. And there was also some, and I call it rumors because I can't really prove it, but there were reports even Russia was sending military down that way. And then Quayle had posted the interesting thing, and he does have contacts talking about something occurred in Antarctica. A general was warning of something getting out, and he was trying to, you know, he was not going to post anything solid on it until he received a report about how many had got out and which way they were going. Now, you know, that brings up to your mind all of a sudden, and I like your opinion on it, you know, are we talking about Nephilim? Are we talking about giants? Are we talking about some type of hybrids under there because there was something mentioned of a lab? Are we talking about some kind of creatures? You know, we don't know. But reminds me a little bit, too, of the, you know, the movie about, I think it was Antarctica, where this huge saucer craft had crashed, you know, you know, all of that occurred. So we can't tell people anything's going on except there is some background chatter, and for the moment, you know, unconfirmed reports of something, an event of some kind occurring in Antarctica.
Well, of course, we could go back, I suppose, and look at what we do know for a fact. And some of the things we do know for a fact are that Hitler in Germany went down to Antarctica with a, I guess, flotilla or submarines, whatever used, and they did some reconnaissance, and they actually claimed a part of, what do they call it, Swaziland or something like that. And then we also know that after the war, and during the war, that they were making runs to Antarctica. And we do have some text. I guess you can't necessarily verify the validity of it, but indicating that they had found, the Nazis had found, a way into Antarctica. One of their sub-commanders gave a message to Hitler that they had discovered an impenetrable fortress that they could build from there. Now, we also know that 100 subs or a little bit more after the war had vanished. Nobody knows where they went. And we also know that German technology was much further along than most people realize. Gordon Cooper, for example, was told by Wannar von Braun that they had very advanced craft. He didn't call them airplanes. He said they really weren't airplanes. They had very advanced craft, and they were using propulsion systems unknown to anyone else. This sort of thing we know. Then we had some CIA insiders that came out and said that when they invaded the final phase of the war at Peter Monday, they found two or three operational UFOs, anti-gravity circular craft. They also found a bunch of blueprints, which I have copies of them. Very, very fascinating when you look at those, particularly the motherships that they were going to house these other circular craft in, and they look like the cosmospheres that Dr. Peter Bader talked about. And so these are factual things that we can verify. I personally have seen the cigar-shaped craft, which Dr. Peter Bader, or Bader, however you want to pronounce it, said were Russian cosmospheres. That what had happened after the war, this advanced technology was farmed out. It came over here under Operation Paperclip. Von Braun came over here under Operation Paperclip. My brother actually worked for Von Braun for a little while out of Redstone Arsenal. He worked for NASA and pre-NASA. So we know that all of this is basically true. And we know that Admiral Byrd, for example, was sent down there with quite a heavy fleet of ships and aircraft and troops. And suddenly, the excuse was, well, winter had set in and they needed to get out of there. But the reality of it is probably a whole lot different. It seems that he came home with his tail between his legs and it got whopped by something. And the reports were that they got involved in a battle with these flying discs. And I do have, and you can find them on YouTube if people want to look for it, you can find some of the ancient films. In fact, I have, there was a report in one of the paranormal magazines of pictures from Admiral Byrd, and you can clearly see some flying discs in those pictures. So I believe that they got involved and were just told to stay away. They were, so here we go. So we probably can, from all of that, we can begin to connect the dots that definitely the Germans made contact. They were channeling a lot of this information, as you know. for the engineering and whatnot to develop these craft. So knowing all of that, they probably have and still have some bases down there. Now, I believe that if you really watch, there were two books written about the Fourth Reich of the Rich. Now, it's the rich men of the earth that have been, operating black budget operations totally off the grid. They don't answer to anybody. Even Dr. Stephen Greer in his Disclosure Project has mentioned this. Now, all of these are the rich men of the earth, they're the only ones that can afford all of this, have been operating off the grid for all of these years, and obviously their technology now is well advanced. Even Stan Dale reported he worked on anti-gravity devices for Dr. Ed Teller, as did Bob Lazar. And everybody poo-pooed Bob Lazar and said he was full of it. He wasn't. He still maintains exactly what he said years ago. And the only thing he said, I regret giving this information to the American people. Because the American people are so naive or so stupid or so lazy or whatever it is, they cannot get off their couch to do anything with any news of importance, and therefore that is why Babylon, America, will never be healed. She's going to go down in flames and smoke, and I guess that's part and parcel of judgment from the Lord. So I think we do have enough information here to take a look at what Steve Quayle actually wrote. Now, this is from his, what does he call that, updates or something? On his website?
Yeah, that's Q Alerts.
Q Alerts, okay. This is from his Q Alerts. Antarctica request. Would the general who asked the question of a mutual friend, what do you do with 135-year-old Nazis running the show? Contact him ASAP. I am trying to confirm very important information from Antarctica as to what has broken loose from a lab under the ice. Need to confirm count and size and where they are believed to be headed. I won't release info until three independent sources can confirm held back details. Steve Quayle. What I'm talking about here is, what is this reference to 135-year-old Nazis running the show? What Nazis running any show in Antarctica?
Yeah, that's an interesting concept, Stuart. And I find it kind of telling. You know, it's interesting that Donald Trump, you know, the minute he was inaugurated, began a process of taking care of America and,
yes,
you know, of course, backing Israel in the Middle East. But he's taking care of America. And you remember his wording over and over, you know, I'm for America. I'm for, you know, this nation. I'm the president of this country only. I represent no other country in the world. Now, you're wondering, where is that coming from? Does he know what we don't know? Does he already know that there's been maybe a transition of power somehow, and we're not aware of it yet? And, you know, and of course, you asked really, really good questions. You know, you talk about Trump, you know, Donald Trump as being a Cyrus and a biblical type Cyrus. And also you say, I'm not sure yet who he really is completely. And at the same time, Barack Obama, you put him in a box also, and you call him Lucifer, and that's very interesting. But at the same time, you say, I'm not really sure exactly who he is yet in history. So those are interesting concepts. Also, you can dovetail back into this Antarctica thing a little bit. some recent data and reports coming out about the new Orion, and that's the name of it, Orion. It reminds me from, I looked at it up on the internet, and the Orion spacecraft looks similar to the Deep Impact movie craft called the Messiah.
Messiah.
And they're going to send that out. You remember on Inauguration Day, the first thing Trump did also was activate NASA. And we don't know what that means. I mean, we have no idea what orders he gave NASA, but there is an Orion spacecraft going to make a run around the moon, and then where else it goes, I don't know, but there seems to be, dovetailed even into that, because this stuff seems to be layered, something about the Orion star system and that direction of space and a possible portal. And then you look at the Interstellar movie talking about a wormhole where you can go to other places. And we have the TRAPPIST-1 star system, a red dwarf star with Earth-like planets. And, wow, this grows and grows, Stuart.
Yeah, how do I word this? I'm very, very curious about this TRAPPIST-1 situation. I want to get into that maybe a little bit later. But I want to get back to this Antarctica thing, because Standeo mentioned that they do operate out of there, out of Antarctica. They have very advanced technology. Where did our TR-3Bs come from? Everybody, if you watch YouTube at all, you have seen these videos of the TR-3Bs. And they're kind of an anti-gravity system of some type. And then, of course, you've got Bob Lazar. Let's get back to him again. He still insists all of what he said was real. And he released it to benefit the American people. They didn't appear to want the information. But nevertheless, when you start connecting all of these dots and you then view this kind of a comment of the Nazis running the show, and we have the Fourth Reich, and several books have been written about the coming of the Fourth Reich. We have von Braun, who told Carol Rosen, he was dying from cancer, and Carol came on board for, I think it was like 4 years, and was his spokesman. And he kept telling Carol, now, Carol, remember, the last card, he's talking about the military-industrial complex, the last card is the alien card. They're going to fake, basically is what he's referring to, we're going to fake an invasion, so-called aliens. He said all of it. Is a lie. Now, you got to take somebody like von Braun, and even though he was in Pina Mundi, even though he used slave labor, and he definitely was a Nazi's Nazi, when somebody like that makes a comment like that, you have to sort of pay attention to it, because it means something. So here we have this rest of this thing. We know the Nazis are there. That I think that's a direct reference. Why would any general talk about Nazis running the show in Antarctica unless they really are? And then you kind of have to tie that into the possibility of what's going on the moon and what's going on Mars and who knows where else it's going on. You remember Alternative 3. And to get on to Alternative 3, it basically was the same thing as the report from Iron Mountain, where they rounded up all these scientific minds. And basically in Alternative 3, the question was, not anything about war, but were the ancient documents showing catastrophes true or not? And if they were, what could we do to escape the next one soon upon us? And it was called Alternative 3. And they issued three alternatives. But the one that's most important is building bases on the moon and Mars. And you brought up Deep Impact, Messiah. We know perfectly well that Hollywood gets an awful lot of their information from insiders. And so if you've seen it in the movies, they probably already got it. And they're probably already using it. And they present it as science fiction so that the general public won't catch on as to how far advanced in technology they really are. And you remember, what was his name? I can't think of it. Carl Sagan. He said that advanced technology would appear to the basic humanity as miracles of the gods.
Yeah.
What the Thessalonians tell us, that there's going to be an arrival, and it's going to deceive the human race. So is this arrival actually aliens, or is this a combination of aliens and others? I think they're fallen angels. I don't think we have any such thing as aliens. This is what, if you go into the Bible, it talks about these people who claim they come from planets, but they're actually fallen angels. They're imposters, and they lead the human race astray. So this is probably tying all the way back to Antarctica, the coming arrival, and who knows what's come out from under the ice. Getting there, you were talking about, well, what are these things that they're talking about? Did they have something confined in a lab, or is that just rhetoric? Or, as Riddell called them, the long walkers. And remember, he talked about a war.
Yeah.
What was that? The war out in the mountains somewhere. Remember that?
Well, he was, you know, Steve Quayle was also, at that time, had some sources from some generals that were talking about there were some nukes set off in the Cascades, deep underground, to block these things from coming out. And Red Elk, you know, I shared a little bit. We wrote back and forth for a while there, and he told me that what they were doing was nuking some areas where the long walkers, if you will, Nephloma or whatever, that they were trying to come out. And of course, Stan Deo talked about bases that we had that were also alien bases that, remember, there was a big fight, and they kind of conquered us, throwed us out of those secret underground bases, and they took them over. And Red Elk told me that we were going to stall them for a little while, he said, but they will eventually come out. And he had, as he called it, he called the word see. You know, he would see things, futuristic things, and he said he saw that they would break through to the surface in America in three different locations. And I think one was up near the Canadian border, one was down in the Four Corners region, and I don't remember where the third was, but he said they would eventually break through. Now, whether this is what's occurred in Antarctica, I can't really say, but yeah, this is interesting.
Well, we do know that we have them because we have the prayer in Isaiah, let not the giants live again. Now, you have that Russian, you've even communicated with this Russian scientist who evidently went to the Himalayas and actually witnessed, as close as he could get, these giants that are under some sort of special, I don't know what you would call it, suspended animation, I guess, or whatever, and that would tend to confirm what Isaiah was talking about, that let not these giants come again. Well, maybe this is all tied together. I mean, we already know they're fooling around with genetics. We already know they have super soldiers. You probably remember the movie Super Soldier. Well, these movies are based more on fact than they are fiction. I'm a firm believer of that. And too many things come out later after you've seen a movie. It's kind of like your movie Deep Impact and the Messiah, that spacecraft. And what did that spacecraft do? It went out to intercept a comet. that they knew was inbound. Now, the book of Revelation tells us there are at least two, if not three, major impact events. We don't know if it's a comet or a large asteroid, but we do know there are impact events. In fact, one of them appears to either hit the Pacific or hit the Atlantic and destroys one-third of the shipping, one-third of life in the sea. So if they are fooling around with this thing that they're calling Orion, you have to ask the question, why? Unless they're going to take it and go out and try exactly what Deep Impact was telling us. And remember, there was that the Puerto Rico address on the foodstuffs. And we had that minister who was a prophet as well, who said he saw an impact event just off Puerto Rico. Is that not correct? My memory is fading me now, but I think that's what it said.
Yeah, you're correct. Augusto Perez knew him or knew of him and I think had contact with him and somewhat verified some of the warning data. But at the same time, Stuart, you're talking about letting the giants live again. We know that's exactly true and happened because, remember, Quayle wrote a book about the one that he got inside information about the one they killed in Afghanistan. And,
in Iraq, yes.
That was one they couldn't even kill with like 308 rounds or 50 caliber rounds until they hit him in the forehead, similar to David in his sling, I guess. But
yes.
This was a giant, a living giant that they slaughtered. They finally killed him after he killed a number of two groups of Americans. And they flew him back to a base, and you know, we even have L.A. Marzulli releasing a recent, you know, DVD on the Watcher series, you know, an expose about this giant that was killed there, that was living underground. You go in a cave, it was where he was living, go underground, and they didn't go down into it. They were afraid to. They'd already taken losses. And so, would the giants live again? Well, all I have to say is they do. And I want to dovetail this back into Red Elk warnings. I think this was some of the same entities or beings that Red Elk was warning about that would gain the surface.
Well, the way this thing reads, it says, as to what has broken loose. When you use the term broken loose, doesn't that imply that there was force used
and
to get out?
Stuart, yeah, I was just going to add, Stuart, that Klaus Dona actually, gave me a relationship, email and a physical relationship with Professor Ernst Moldashev, the researcher that from Russia that had gone underground and had been shown the, I guess you could call them long skull people, that the giants that were, you know, as you said, you mentioned them, and they were underground and they were in some type of energy field and what they called, some kind of sustained life force. Moldashev said they were not dead, but they were really not alive either. It was kind of a medium in between. And matter of fact, when I actually, and this is ironic, Stuart, I wanted to tell you about this. I forgot to tell you. Your project, I think it was Project Red Star, I had shared with Moldashev on the email about it, and he wanted to see that. And I sent him a copy of Project Red Star. And what's ironic is right after that, I come under massive, massive cyber attack, lost a computer. I mean, man, oh, man, I caught it.
Well, we had a guy that took that video. I don't know what possessed him to do it, but he did. He went into NASA with it. And all they would say is, you're not supposed to know anything about this. They didn't deny it. They just said, you're not supposed to know about it. So, it's sort of interesting, but then again, of course, you see you're getting involved in alternative three and the anti-gravity, and they can go to Mars in a matter of probably a few hours, if not a few minutes, with the speeds that they have. In disclosure by Stephen Greer, he talks about all of this stuff. They've figured out how to go faster than light. They can punch through the gates and whatnot. They're, in other words, Genesis is actually beginning to come true when the Lord said, whatsoever humanity can imagine to do, that will they do. So the Lord views us as extremely dangerous because of our nature, our fallen nature. But anyway, getting back to this, broken loose from a lab under the ice. Now, this is interesting wording. Need to confirm count and size and where they are believed to be headed. Isn't that kind of talking about an entity of some sort or entities that have gotten loose and broken out? I mean, the way the wording is. Go ahead.
I was just going to mention, Stuart, with that wording, it really brings to mind to me, broken out, that appears to be something that was restrained for some
yes.
reason. You know, I think of that, and then comes to mind is the term Nephilim. Is it something, you know, have we recreated the Nephilim, you know, because we have had giants. DNA, you know, and at the same time, then you wonder about, like Tom Horn wrote the book about the bases around the world that were secreted underground, and they created the Nephilim again underground, the giants, heavy supernatural creatures. And you remember in his book, Tom Horn's book, The Ormond Gate, that's one I'm referring to, an earlier
Good.
Book. They created them also with a tracking device in them, but that didn't work out well. And I think they used nukes to even fight those underground bases of those creatures, and they were trying to break out. So I found it rather telling, Stuart. You know, it's interesting in books and, you know, that people have called science fiction or fiction. It seems like they were foretelling some of the events we're beginning to see now.
Yeah, I think so, too. And they say from a lab under the ice. So these may be been cloned creatures of some type. Dr. Peter Beter, that's another one. He claimed that they were cloning years and years and years ago, that they could clone humans. They could duplicate. And he said you never knew whether you were really looking at the ruler or leader that you got elected and comes out into the open, or whether you're looking at a clone. And his information was astoundingly accurate. So, you know, this is all getting very, very interesting, and it's odd now because of the earthquake activity. Remember the bots talked about earthquake activity in Antarctica and a new discovery. So, you know,
yeah.
People were saying, well, maybe this is an alien base from long ago or whatever, or it could be pre-human. It could be pre-Adam and Eve, which I think it is, and they're just going to claim that our past is far different, and it kind of repudiates Adam and Eve. And they're going to say that, you know, it goes back millions and millions and millions of years, when in fact they were not humanity as we know humanity today, that humanity was recreated in Genesis. It even says so. Go forth and multiply. And Adam and Eve are different than anything that went before. But if you read Scripture carefully, there's definitely something that went long before humanity was here. It's kind of like the Lord dusted the earth off in a cataclysm and recreated it so we as humanity can, and now we're at the end and waiting another catastrophe. So round and round we go, and where we stop, I guess nobody knows. Anything else on that you want to talk about? I just find it fascinating that this thing is now coming out into the open a little bit. And it usually does start with just little rumors, little comments. And, of course, you never know whether it's right, wrong, indifferent, misinformation, disinformation. You only have the Bible. So I guess we wait, we watch, and we see. But it just seemed odd to me that this has come along like it has right now. And the wording is very, very telling, I think.
Oh, I agree, Stuart. And one of the most interesting things, too, you know, is your report about Typhonia. And you had very clear images. Typhonia was a location of an ancient base with new structures, with possibly Tesla. And also I was going to mention, too, there is a report recently that in the Bosnian pyramids that they've got quite about, the Klaus Dohn was looking into that quite a bit, they had discovered some Tesla devices down inside underground in those pyramids. I can't confirm that. I can tell you, though, at the moment, Klaus Dohn is away from Europe. And I'm not going to say where he's at, but he's got new discoveries, and he's been looking into some most recent things, mysteries, and he'll have new data soon. So there is so much coming out, Stuart, and people can really Google or search Typhonia, the city of Typhonia. It comes out. There's really good images, and your data is still up on the Internet on that.
Yeah, it was amazing that it was kind of a no-go when it when we did it, but you called up and said the Lord told you it was going to be an, what did he call it, a non-event, which is basically what it was, a non-event. I mean, but it was very, very interesting to do the research, and then we later find out that Red Star was actually, there was a deal going on, an investigation within, I guess, NASA called Red Sun, Project Red Sun, which we found out through some guy over in Europe. So, yeah, they're hiding everything, but I do remember what the Lord said. He said he was going to reveal all of this stuff that they're hiding. And I think that's exactly what's going on. And our ancient past is... Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to mention, Stuart, that Professor Moldashev in Russia was extremely interested in your project... Red Star, and I did get it to him. By the way, it was confirmed that it had been received by an individual that worked for him, and that he would get that data. So he got it. But it's interesting to note that Moldashev in Russia was interested in that project you did. And you remember some of his books. You know, he actually did reconstruction of ancient locations, somewhat like you did with Typhonia. And y'all were very similar. You and Moldashev both similar in your presentations of what in the past that would look ancient now, what it might have looked like prior to the events in time.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I think people have no clue as to what our actual past really is, including just going back to Adam and Eve and coming forward through the flood and all that. I just feel that it is so far different. When you talk about Klaus Dohn, I interviewed him. He was a very, very interesting character. But he's dug up giants that were about 25 feet tall and the bones and stuff. He's got a lot of stuff. He also found artifacts that I found extremely interesting with drawings of the giants riding on dinosaurs. Well, when you take
absolutely.
A look at what... Yeah, because some of these giants, you know, were supposed to be 30, 40, 50 feet tall. We can't imagine that. But they could easily probably tame a dinosaur. Do you remember, it was a cartoon show. Barney was one of the names. I can't remember. But they were riding dinosaurs back then. It was a caveman kind of story. Well... where did he get all this information from, you know? Anyway, before we got to get on to some other things, what's this deal with this nuclear spike that's going on now and evidently all over the world, basically, this nuclear or radiation cloud. What's the latest on that, Larry?
Well, what's interesting is that originally was released into the public domain by Ed Dames, who talked about some type of possible nuclear event in Europe. And at the same time, there was some data released warning about, wondering if there was a nuclear device exploded by Russia up in the Arctic or, you know, close to Europe. There is a, and we've looked into that. There's not a lot on it, but, you know, the U.S. has sent up their sniper planes, as you call them, to search for radioactivity. They confirmed that. There appears to be, out of England, news reports of a radioactive cloud that is approaching the U.K. And also they're warning, I got a YouTube warning, sent you a copy of it, of radiation levels that they're reading in off New York. That are extremely high. So something has occurred. We don't really know exactly what to tie it to. I think that those planes are still searching for the source. But our atmosphere, Stuart, has just been exponentially increased with all types of radioactivity, and that's not including Fukushima and the sun.
Yeah, I know. There's a thing on gamma rays, and NASA has issued a warning about passengers flying at high altitudes near the poles, and that they may have to ground them. They can't. They're not going to be able to do it because the radiation levels are getting so high. Gamma ray radiation, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Why? I guess the question would be, why are we having such increases in not only radioactive clouds, like you were just talking about, but also vast increases that don't have anything to do with Fukushima or this other thing, but are coming from deep space and possibly even coming from the core of the Milky Way, which is where Dr. Paul LaViolette warned us that a gravity wave and a cosmic wave is approaching, and approaching very rapidly, basically, I guess, at the speed of light. What's going on now with Trump? I saw where the New York Times said this is all out war. No.
Oh, absolutely. It's it's basically in America we're observing us, and a number of people have spoke and said it's civil war. You know, we don't recognize it as such, but it's a clash of. You know, as on Fox, they've referred to it a number of times as a communist coup occurring in America, even after a new president set in office. And Stuart, you warned about this. You said this was coming.
Yeah, it is. There's no question. Here's what the Bible has to say. This is from Jeremiah. The Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill thee with men, as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. Then in Isaiah, therefore shall evil come upon thee, thou shalt not know from whence it rises, and mischief shall fall upon thee, thou shalt not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. That sounds like the war, Ezekiel 38 war, where they attack America and take us out, which only makes sense from a military point of view. You want to neutralize anybody that could come in to help your target, which happens to be Israel. And, of course, as you know, they never talk about the God factor. Dave Hodges had a very interesting article, The Overthrow of the United States Government. We are in the early stages of a civil war that is designed to take down the United States. The New World Order must destroy the United States because there is no place in the New World Order for liberty and freedom. The idea of a nation state will go by the wayside and the planet will be governed corporate style, such as the 1975 movie Rollerball. Folks, if you have not seen the movie Rollerball, go rent a copy and watch it and pay very close attention to what it's telling you. There was another one that, what was his name? Schwarzenegger. played in. I can't quite remember, but he was arrested because he wouldn't kill a whole bunch of people in a food riot. And then he had to go play this TV game that had become very popular. You remember that one?
I do. I can't remember the name of the show. Yeah.
Well, these are very futuristic things. And I think they all are beginning to tell people, look, this is what's coming. And it is. We are involved in a communist coup, folks. I don't know why people can't call what this is directly, because it is communist in its nature, and they're simply using Islam and whatnot as agents to bring us down. And I believe we're going to have a massive economic collapse come along at about the same time. In other words, when America finally goes down, when the Lord finally says, I've had enough of you folks, bang, it's horrific. And it all probably ties back to Antarctica. It ties back to an arrival, which is the real New World Order. I have never thought that the New World Order that you hear about by the rich men is actually the New World Order that's coming. It's going to be advanced technology, fallen angels, and kind of a hybrid government, like Standeo found out when he researched Daniel and what Daniel really had to say about the arrival and who these people really are. And boy, it's horrific in its nature. What else you got you want to talk about? What's going on in Israel?
Well, it's very interesting what's occurring in Israel. Some of the things that I've been receiving reports on I can't talk about, but it appears, and we've already warned that Israel has brought out its main anti-missile systems. I mean, new ones that they've never shown in public before are now deployed across Israel. There's movement of, you know, the troops, you know, the IDF movements. They've got coastal defenses, naval and satellite operating. They've got their submarines out. I think Israel is expecting a massive missile attack. There are reports, and we've shared about this. We've talked about recently on Depth of File, they indicated that Israel was expecting a massive attack by tunnels, terrorists, and missiles and drones from Hamas and also from Hezbollah. And you'll know you're reminded of the recent report a couple of days ago or a few days ago we did that Assad has now given Iran direct permission to use as a staging ground or base of an attack on Israel by their proxies, Hezbollah and Hamas, for them to use Syrian territory, which they've set up a report or center in Damascus. And even Russia was against that, and now they seem to be sabotaging some of the Russian forces there. So there's a conflict occurring, and also there are reports that I will not confirm that, you know, we're watching closely possibly to evacuate some Americans out of Israel if by chance this war begins to break loose any time. Now, we're staged for something, and I wonder again, and would like your opinion, this seems to reflect back on the Daniel 8 war, as you call it, where Iran begins to strike out in all directions. We know that also, Stuart, I'll put this in one lump, we know also that they've begun naval exercises off of the Strait of Hormuz, the Gulf of Oman, which are big oil center and oil travel regions, and also the northern Indian Ocean, and we know that this is the Revolutionary Guard under the Khomeini, the religious leader that is doing this, and they are fanatic, and it makes me wonder, the Daniel 8 war, if we're not seeing the early stages of the positioning and movements of that.
Well, you know, the thing that I don't think most people realize is these wars can start instantaneous almost, and we know from the Bible that it appears, anyway, that the rich men of the earth are actually, how do I say, using a script. This is all pre-planned, but it looks like it isn't. And again, you have the Lord who said, I have stretched out my hand upon all the nations, and I'm going to do my will, and nobody's going to stop me, basically. So the Lord is actually mocking people, but the time for the Daniel 8 may be now, or right around now. You know, you've got these rabbis and the Bible codes, and we should talk about the Bible codes, too, before we run out of time here. You know, that this whole thing can just blow up in everybody's face instantly. You go to bed one time, and you wake up the next morning, and everything's different. Everything's changed. So,
absolutely.
I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, I think you're right. I think, you know, there's some very interesting movements going on at the moment, and it reminds me so much of, we've often wondered what would make Damascus, Syria, such a target that someone would absolutely make it a ruinous heap totally. And I know it's been progressing towards a ruinous heap for some time now, but who would finish it off? And now, knowing that Iran is set up within Damascus, a staging or an attack base to attack Israel, it's beginning to focus a little more on Isaiah 17, too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, for sure. And I guess we just don't know how that sequence goes. Is it Daniel 8, Isaiah 17, Ezekiel? Is it 17 and Daniel 8, and then Ezekiel 38, 39? We just don't know. We'll just have to watch and see how it develops. But it's weird. And there's a lot of weird stuff going on. What about this Bible code that your friend did, Barry Rothman, on this new planet, they claim, which has, or new star that has seven planets around it? I got to tell you, I'm very, very suspicious of this. It sounds to me more like we're being acclimated to the arrival that is going to be claiming came from, well, Nibiru or whatever, you know, the Anunnaki stuff. But anyway, what is this Barry Rothman code? Because it kind of confirms what NASA is saying, does it not?
That's what's interesting, Stuart. My question would be, why was the very name TRAPPIST-1 encoded in the Torah for the Torah codes many, many years ago? I mean, that's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. Let me read you the terms. There's eight terms found in the code so far that he's working on, and, of course, he named it TRAPPIST-1, solar system found with Earth-like planets 40 light-years away. They're calling it 40 light-years away. And here's the eight terms, and I'd like your opinion on that because it's very interesting. And the oddity of TRAPPIST-1 as a title being encoded in the Torah so long ago, now all of a sudden it's out, and I think everybody's carrying it. Fox has been carrying it in news reports and videos for the last week or so. Number one, TRAPPIST-1. Number two, UFO. Number three, orbit. Number four, life. Number five, seven. Number six, world. Number seven, world again. Number eight, star. And, of course, they're saying that TRAPPIST-1 is a red dwarf sun with seven Earth-like planets.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. And they're claiming it's 40 light-years away, but maybe what they're – I can't remember, it was a prophecy that we would see in the heavens a – star-like system with seven planets. I just don't remember where I read it, but it was kind of a prophetic utterance that the Lord had told somebody. So all of a sudden now we have this TRAPPIST-1 and seven worlds. Interesting number, don't you think? Seven. So here we go again, and but it's showing up in the Bible code, which should prove to people that God operates outside of time and space. Prophecy is not prediction. It is actual history. and to the Lord, who's Alpha and Omega, who already knows what the end is as well as the beginning. And so he can encode all this into the Bible codes, knowing full well that we would come into the computer age, and then we would encode all of this stuff and probably use it for his, you know, for his people. So it is very, very interesting. This is showing up exactly the same time that NASA is announcing it. And you had mentioned Orion. Well, there are, you know, the Orion system, Orion's belt is outlined on the pyramids. The pyramids in Egypt are, they're kind of like a star map. They're, if you look down on them. And, of course, Orion is very, very much in Masonry's research. They actually believe, I think, that this arrival will be from either Orion or the Sirius star system. So, this is very, very fascinating stuff to me anyway. So,
yeah, I find it fascinating too, Stuart, that I like your opinion on it. You know, even the Bible, I can't remember where it's at, but the Bible talks about the Orion star system and talks about influences from that system, you know, affecting us.
Yep, that's right. Orion is quite a system, and it's been throughout antiquity as well. There is a special something, even the Great Pyramids, if you go into the how the pyramid is laid out. Well, number one, the way the inside of the Great Pyramid is laid out is actually a Bible about the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about the straight gate, narrow way. It's all in there. It's encoded in there. But what's fascinating is a lot of that pointed to Orion in more ways than one. And I've got a book, I can't remember who wrote it, but he goes into all of these pyramids around the world and all of the systems constructs of different buildings, ancient buildings. They're all about the same. They're all pointing to Orion.
Yeah, and sure, didn't they find also, I was going to mention Cydonia on Mars. Isn't there also some pyramid-like structures on Mars that are also constructed like the Orion system?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's like what I found on the Tithonian thing. It's kind of fascinating that it all goes and points back to the ancients and ancient wisdom, ancient knowledge. And, of course, mystery wants to unlock the secrets of the ancients. That's what this is really all about. And the Lord, of course, warned them in the Old Testament, you better be careful what you're looking for and what you're wishing for. You might open up Pandora's box and you'd be in really a lot of trouble, which is, I think, what's really coming. I think the tribulation is a Pandora's box being opened. And we're going to be faced with a lot of weird, unbelievable stuff that's coming. And the only protection we have is Lord Jesus Christ. So people better be aware of that. You know, the people hate the Bible. But the Bible is the most paranormal and interesting non-religious book I think I've ever found, if you really study it for what it says. Hey, how can people reach you before we close?
The quickest way is my blog, LarryWTaylor.org. That's LarryWTaylor.org. And, you know, you and I both had dreams of being chased by giants.
Yes, we did. Yeah, fee-fi-fo-fum. Where did that come from? when you see a giant that's got an apron on, a salt and pepper shaker, you better run. He's probably looking for his breakfast. And it's not going to be funny when it happens, so I guess we can laugh about it now. But this is going to be really serious, I think. Any closing comment? We've got 14 seconds.
Oh no. Everybody watch for a possible earthquake. It seems there's a building in progress on planet Earth.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you on Wednesday. Good night.